This evening, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 1. Genesis, chapter 42, verse 1. Genesis, chapter 42, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was no corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. We pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives empowered to be the testimony of the great grace that you've given to us in salvation. Lord, that the world might see your testimony, your power, your love, your peace, and your kindness, Lord, to all who will receive you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll thank you for that. Bless your word tonight, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "There is Corn in Egypt." There is corn in Egypt. And this will clarify it, or we can entitle it simply, "The Sovereignty of God." The Sovereignty of God. And that will make a little bit more sense here as we look to our text. And we just want to take a look at a few thoughts here very briefly. And that is God's will brought to pass. And then secondly, we want to take a notice of a willingness to pay obeisance to Joseph. And then a willingness to follow God's will. That's a good thing, isn't it? To be willing to follow God's will. And then the purpose of God's will for mankind. And so as we consider our text tonight, I want to ask you, how important is it to know that God is sovereign? Or that word sovereign is an interesting word. There's another little word inside that word sovereign. It's reign. God is sovereign. God reigns supreme over everything. Do you mean even when things don't go the right way? Everything. God allows things. Doesn't mean that he ordained those things to take place, but he has given to you and I the freedom to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve, the Bible tells us. And so God has given to everybody a choice. We can choose to believe, or we can choose to reject the truth, and we miss out on the things of God. So God's sovereignty, if understood, brings contentment, brings peace, brings joy that the world does not understand, can't understand it, because they're dead to those things. And God doesn't want us to be dead to the things that he's made us alive to. And so let's consider our text here, and let's back up here to God's will brought to pass. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Jacob and his sons, and especially Joseph. In fact, let's just back up over there just for a moment. Hold your place right here in chapter 42, and go back to verse chapter 37, and just let's look at a couple of verses here. Verse 5 of Genesis 37 says this, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Now you have to remember, he's second to the youngest. Benjamin is the youngest, he's second. He was well-pleasing to his father, and so, it wasn't that his father didn't love his other sons. He did. He did. Listen, his father, Joseph's father, Jacob, knew that the brothers were not pleased with Joseph, and yet when they were going out and feeding the sheep and they were gone for a while, Jacob sent Joseph to go check on his brothers alone, knowing that his brothers didn't really care for Joseph, but Jacob was concerned for the well-being of his other children. And by the way, Joseph is also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected by his own the first time, and then he was received by his own the second time. And so likewise also, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected the first time by Israel, but will be received when they see him, and they will mourn as for one of their own whom they pierced and crucified. And so the Bible says here in verse 5, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." That means they bowed down to him.
Well, if things weren't worse at this point, they certainly were not any better. And so things were not going well. Verse 8 says this, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? They understood the meaning. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, verse 9, and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother, they understood, and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Listen to this, verse 11. And his brethren envied him, listen, but his father observed the saying. Why? Because he saw what manner of man, what this young man was a man of reputation. This man had credentials backing him up. Some people mistake this and understand and think, oh, well, he was just a favorite and he was a tattletale. Oh, no, he was a truth teller. And the problem was he was before Daniel, he had the right kind of integrity and sincerity towards his God. He wanted to honor and please him. And he was simply just telling them what God was telling him. And so as we go back to our text, let's consider the sovereignty of God with this thought in mind and look at Genesis 42. And again, look at verse 1, and it says, And when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? You know, this famine was in the mind of God before the world was created. This famine, God understood, and by the way, allowed to take place, and in fact directed it, to bring his will to pass that he might have Joseph in the place of preeminence, really. By the way, so is the Son of God in the place of preeminence. He's before all things, and he's the creator of all things. The book of Colossians tells us that. And for him, listen, is all the honor and the glory. Amen? And so here's Joseph, and he's in Egypt. He's been betrayed by his brothers. They conspired to kill him. They didn't kill him, but they sold him to the Midianites, and the Midianites brought him down to Egypt and sold him into Potiphar's house. Well, since that time, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. She was daily, the Bible says daily, she kept pressing him to be unfaithful with her, and pressing him. And finally, she conspired and lied against him and had him thrown into prison. And God blessed him in prison. And not only that, but then God also helped him help the baker and the butler. And you know the story. The baker was restored back, and the butler was executed. Or is it vice versa? It was vice versa. Anyway, that'll be a quiz for you guys. You can check that out. You don't have to do it right now. But anyway, so what happened was, Joseph was forgotten in prison. He said, remember me when you're restored back to bringing the Pharaoh his cup. Well, what happened was he forgot for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has this dream. But may I tell you this? Him forgetting was also in the plan of God. See, he was left there for 2 years. Now, there's some similarities there. 1,000 years. You know, a year is like 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord. Well, it's been almost 2,000 years that Israel has done away with the Savior, the Messiah, supposedly. But he's coming again, and he's going to reveal himself. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that truly Jesus Christ is Lord. Now I used to have this opinion, and I've since changed that. And I may change it again when I stand before the Lord if it's wrong. All right, I will change it again. But here it is. Ready? I used to think that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And I had the idea that they were going to do it grudgingly. They were going to do it because they were going to be made to do it. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to see the Lord God merciful and just. And they're going to be put out with themselves for rejecting such a great love. When they look into the face of God, they're going to bend the knee because he is God. They are going to confess because he is Lord and he is merciful, and they won't be able to do anything else because of his righteousness and his glory and who he is. You remember when John the Revelator was met with the angel, and he wanted to bow down and worship the angel, and the angel said, "Oh, see that thou do it not." No, that's for God alone. The reason why John the Revelator wanted to do that was because of the Shekinah glory that was on that angel, and he had part of the presence of God with him, and John was getting ready to make a mistake, and that angel corrected him. If John is getting ready to do that to an angel, imagine what it's going to be like. Infinitely more powerful just to be in the very presence of God. All of humanity is going to be in the very presence of God. What does that mean? He is the one, listen, who didn't manufacture but spoke, and everything came into being. Listen, we don't understand that. We think we do, but I promise you, it's going to be like nothing we can imagine. Amen. To stand in the very presence of God. And so, Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we consider this, he says, hey, listen, there's corn in Egypt. This is the sovereign will of God. Verse 2, and he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy us from thence that we may live and not die. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. And if we eat of him and drink of him, we have eternal life. Amen? Partake, believe, put our trust in him. You know, it's amazing to me. I don't remember if I mentioned this to you. When Brother Terry Richard was here, not this last revival, but a year ago from this last time, he was here and he preached revival for us. And we went to the prison there in Jeff City, take the tour over there. And we got to talking, and he asked us, you know, what we did for a living, and told him we were preachers. And anyway, we told him about the revival going on, and he got spiritual with us, began to tell us about his spiritual relationship, you know. But in there, in that explanation of what he was telling us, of what he thought he knew about God, he was telling us, well, you know I got to do this, and I got to do, and I've not been doing the best. You know what the problem with his testimony was? Too much I. Too much I. There's no I in our salvation. It's all of him. It's a gift. I has nothing to do with it. It's all of God. And you know, he was being nice, but he was wrong. Because you'll not find that in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no other way. It's not you in Christ. It's him alone. He's the one that died on the cross, not us. He's not going to weigh it out. He's not going to say, well, you know, you did a little bit of your part. No, to do anything for our salvation is to tell Jesus, you didn't do enough. I got to help you. Really? The Bible says that our righteousness, what we think is good, you know, help the poor, do this, do that, be kind, all that. In the flesh, filthy rags. Amen. It's what he says. It's good for nothing. Filthy rags are the rags from a leper that's been discarded. Pussy rags. God says it's nauseating. And so I told that fellow, the tour guide, he was a prison guard keeper there for I don't know how many years. He retired, and now he was doing tours at the old prison. And he used to be a prison guard when it was open. And so I said to him, well, it comes down to this. I don't remember his name, but I don't remember. I just said, it comes down to this. We're either looking to our own righteousness or God's righteousness. Not both. God says you can't do both. So if we're looking to ours, you know, what's in the back of your mind? What's going to gain you eternal life? Well, I think if I do, well, that's the problem. You'll never make it. You will never make it until we have complete confidence and we put our faith and trust, interchangeable words, completely in the finished work of Calvary. Isn't that what Jesus said when he died? It is what? Not almost done, done. And so for you to add anything to a masterpiece is to mar it. And so I said to him, I said, sir, if you're looking to your righteousness and the Lord, you're never going to make it. But if you'll look to the righteousness of Christ alone, he'll give you his. If you'll look to what he did for you, you'll make it. And God will confirm that in your heart. If you've not done that, I believe this. There's no doubt about it. Listen, there will always be some doubt in the back of your mind. I hope so. I think so. No. That's not the kind of salvation God came and gave. He gave us a no-so. I cannot tell you why I know other than Jesus Christ forgave me and I experienced that personally. And I pray and hope everybody in this room has that testimony. And if that's not the case, tonight would be a good night to say, I'm going to put my trust in what Jesus did for me and that alone. That's the only thing that's going to do it. That is the sovereign will of God. We can't manufacture that. So very quickly, as we consider our text, keep that thought in mind. God, from eternity past, planned the whole thing out. And so, verse 3 says this, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Then consider this willingness to pay the obeisance to Joseph. Remember, they would have none of it. Benjamin, Joseph's brother, verse 4, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all people of the land. God also positioned him there. He could have just been the wise one, and Joseph could have appointed somebody else to delegate the business of divvying out the corn to those who came to buy. But Joseph said, you know what? God wants me to do this job. So I'm not going to delegate it out, because he was second to Pharaoh. Could he not have delegated that to somebody else? But he said, no. Pharaoh said, you take business however you want to do it. And Joseph says, I'll do it. Amen? Okay, so here it is. So Joseph is the one that's over all of this. And you will see something here. As you look at this, consider this. God doesn't always necessarily give us the whole plan at the very beginning. He lays it out as we follow him and as we seek him. God unfolds the plan and gives us things and gives us thoughts to follow him as we're living our daily life. We don't know what one day is going to bring forth. That's why it's so important to say, oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but fill me with the Spirit that I might follow him and not get out in front of him. So we'll see this here as we go along. Verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was a governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Boy, that's some obeisance, isn't it? That they're paying homage to Joseph. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. Here it is. Listen, I don't think Joseph knew he was going to see his brethren this day. But he did know it was God's plan, didn't he not, that they were going to come and put their faces to the earth. What are they doing right now? They're putting their faces to the earth. Does he know who they are? The connection, being led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, this is what you were talking about. You are showing me this is taking place just like you said. That's prophecy, amen? All right, okay. So, verse 7 again, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now, let me ask you this question. Is there a problem in the hearts of Joseph's brothers? Is there a problem? Deception, deceit, dishonesty, disloyalty? They knew the whole time where Joseph was at. And they never told their father, who was grieving for him for years. You think they needed some correction in their life? Do you think the righteousness of God was going to lie idle and let that rest? Out of the love of God, he wanted to pull them back into the right way. Okay, now watch this. Verse 8. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered, listen, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. Now listen, why did he say it? Why would he do that? Because he remembered the dreams. And God is leading him now. He remembered the dreams. The Holy Spirit is leading him. to do this, because this is how these chain of events, they've got to deal. And listen, no, he doesn't. God has to deal with their hearts. God has to deal with our hearts. Amen. Are we truly genuine with God, or are we playing games with him? Is he just a big man upstairs, or is he Almighty God? Not the almighty dollar. Amen. The Almighty God. Or have we put other gods, little g's, in front of him? What does that mean? Well, that means I don't have time for God. How often do you get along with the Lord and the Word of God? Has a little God that you think more of than the big God, than the only God, gotten in front of you? See, God has to deal with our hearts. Have some things gotten in front of these brothers that caused them to go astray from the truth? Absolutely. All right. So here's... this is a willingness to follow God's will on Joseph's part. And it was not an easy thing for him. Verse 10, and they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's servants. Listen, we are true men. Well, they think they are, aren't they? You know that's what the world thinks they are before God gets a hold of their heart. We're good men. We're good men. No, we're wicked without salvation. We're wicked. Thy servants are no spies. Well, that may be true, but they're not good men, and they're not true. And so they've got this confrontation, and then he says, listen, here's what we're going to do. Drop down to verse 17. Watch this. In fact, look at verse 16. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, listen, that your words may be proved, whether they be what? Whether there be any truth in you. It's all about the truth, right? Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. In ward 3 days. All right? This is not an easy time for them. But the Lord is, listen, the Lord is dealing with them. Verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. Wow, listen. And we'll find out later, he's speaking through an interpreter. He's not speaking Hebrew to them. He's speaking through an interpreter. And he's telling them, I fear Elohim, the God of the Jews. They still don't know who he is. Listen, we don't know which way is up and which way is down unless God gives us sight. And I'm not talking about physical sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. We think we know what we're doing. We think we understand what God is doing and how God thinks. But may I remind us, his ways are what? Higher than ours. And they're past our finding out without him. All right. So verse 20. In fact, verse 19. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye and carry corn for the famine of your houses. That's very generous, is it not? But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And listen to this. So, verse 21. And they said one to another, listen to this. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Now, who in the world brought that up to them? Who was that? It was God. God created a situation and a circumstance. God is sovereign. God, listen, God is giving everybody an opportunity tonight to consider their own ways before the Lord. Everybody in this room tonight has an opportunity to consider, as a child of God or as not as a child of God, have I put something else before you, Lord? Have I put my thoughts the way that I think you ought to think, or am I just considering you? Or, listen, have I misunderstood? Have I deceived myself into thinking I know what salvation is? God's just going to weigh my good and my bad out. That's wrong. That you'll not find that. You show me that. You show me the scripture. You show me the chapter and the verse. It's not in there. Not in there. All right. So here it is. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? Why is this distress come upon them? God is dealing with them. Nobody can come unto the Father unto the Son unless the Father draws him. See, this is a work that God has to do in our hearts. And so here they are in this predicament. Look at verse 23. And they knew not. Listen to this. Look at verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, speaking of Joseph. And you would not hear. Remember? That's what he's saying. Remember? Didn't I tell you this was all wrong? And they kept going. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Wow, that's heavy. That's only God can bring that. Listen, they were free, flying free. And fancy free, right? Everything was fine, going their way. Then this famine comes in, and now they're dealing with more than a famine. They're dealing with the deceptive and the sin in their heart that they thought was covered up, buried, and gone. And it wasn't. And so he says, also his blood is required. Three more verses, and we're finished. Listen to this. And they knew, listen to this, verse 23, and they knew not that Joseph understood them. So he's hearing this conversation. And I want you to know something. He's not smiling. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Listen to this. And he turned himself about from them. And what did he do? And wept. And returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. And this broke his heart. But he was following God's orders. May I tell you something? There's coming a day when God's heart is going to be broken as he sends all the unredeemed into eternal hell because they rejected the way of salvation, because they said, I know better, because they rejected the perfect gift, the perfect salvation, the sinless gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, no, it's not just him alone. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You'll never find that in the Bible. So he says, and he turned himself, verse 24, about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. He took good care of them. You know, you can't have a better life than to be a child of the King. He will hold you in his hands and never let you go. And he will confirm that, and he will reassure that. Did Joseph go through some difficult times in his life? But did God just bring it all together for him? He did. God will bring it all together for us, even when we feel like we've been betrayed, left alone, abandoned. Persevere. Stand strong in the truth that God holds us in his hands and that his sovereignty reigns supreme. The best place for the child of God to be is in the hand of the Lord. Amen? And to seek him. We have been fooled today. So many distractions, so many things, and our hearts are running away. Listen, and if we're not careful, we bring upon ourselves the chastening hand of God as a child of God to bring us back into the fold, into the right way, because God wants to bless us. So tonight, as we consider this, there's corn in Egypt. Don't wait for a famine. Draw near to the Lord even today, because we need him, do we not? Our nation needs him. We need him. Our families need him, our churches need him, and ultimately the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom, the understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, may we look to you and not ourselves, not to the world, and not to what the devil might try to influence us in or the flesh, but Lord, to your word that directs us in the truth. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.